pilot. Then there was a small explosion of glass. JB dropped his jaw.
It worked!
Hallelujah!
Scram!
No additional encouragement was needed. Ryan hit the gas, and Leviathan rolled away, building speed slowly but steadily.
21!
Mildred kicked a hot shell casing away from a can of fuel. If they weren't careful, this bucket would blow up like the Hindenburg. Ryan sent them wildly over the landscape, but nothing detonated. A rainbow-colored searchlight stabbed for a second, illuminating a sand dune in pearlescent beauty, then winked out.
You smashed the focusing lens.
Yep.
Jack patted the cannon.
It was 1,000-to-1 shot, but he did it in under 100.
Ryan played with a choke and gas pill, urging the machine to go faster.
However, the bastard thing is still after us.
So? What's it going to do, ram us?
Ryan smashed through a thicket of dried brown bushes. Damnation. They were leaving the desert.
Maybe. And 200 tons of anything hitting us is still the last train west.
It does not matter if the stone hits the pitcher or the pitcher hits the stone. Either way, it is bad for the pitcher.
Rainbow lights poured in through the slots of the rear doors, casting multi-hued shadows on the interior walls. Dean squatted low.
We're faster. It'll never catch up.
Till we run out of fuel.
Sitting on the floor, JB removed his glasses to rub his face, then replaced them and frowned.
We've got a lot, but it's nuke-powered. Been operating for 2 centuries. Who knows how much longer it can keep coming.
Ain't coming.
Jack's hand reached out for the Vulcan and dropped away. There was nothing they had. No weapon, blaster, or bomb that could smash the Ranger. It was Predark state-of-the-art, and Leviathan was only a Skydark Frankenstein, cobbled together from 100 smaller machines.
Yeah, we're not free yet. But we're still alive and kicking. Hey, Mildred!
Belted in, the physician turned, looking out the starboard machine blaster port.
What?
Check Christie. She's been out for much too long.
Unbuckling, Mildred started wading through the jumble of boxes and cartons covering the floor. The stocky woman had to crawl over the ammo bin for the front 75mm recoilless before she could reach the redhead. Hands touched the alabaster face, then checked vital signs.
She's okay, just fainted. Pulse is strong, breathing regular, pupils dilated.
Ryan said nothing, but the relief was obvious in his face. Gently, Mildred dragged the unconscious woman out of the front gunner's chair and buckled her into a vacant passenger seat. Then she clambered into the front and belted herself in place.
The 75mm is loaded and ready. Aw, hell, look at that!
After bounding and bucking over the uneven ground, the tank unexpectedly increased in speed as the ride went smooth, their 15 tires humming softly in unison under the floorboards.
Fire blast! Flat land of the horizon. We can go faster, but so does it.
JB put a hand to the side of his face, blocking the colored lights streaming in from the blaster ports. Damn that thing's accuracy.
Head for those weird gray mountains. Maybe we can go places it can't.
We're smaller and more nimble.
Mildred worked the breech mechanism to fire the recoilless. It might be pointing in the wrong direction at present, but a person never knew when that might change.
Maybe we can find a bridge it's too big to go across. Or a narrow tunnel.
Cave.
Jack brushed the white hair from his face. His ruby-red eyes stared directly at the reflected laser lights coming in through the chinks of their battered hull. Each spot would have to be repaired later, if they lived.
Got a better idea. We're heading for that rad pit.
Nobody spoke. The only sound discernible, the gentle humming of the tires.
Radiation fries electronics. We go in there, the damn thing wouldn't dare to follow us. Too many transistors and chips. Its main comp would scram.
He patted the dashboard.
But we're mostly manual.
True enough. Radiation destroys advanced electronics as bad as it does flesh.
Just then, rainbow lights washed in through the windows and blaster ports. Now that they were traveling straight and true, the Ranger was scoring a hit with every discharge of the unfocused laser.
But just to be sure, we better turn off everything electric. Lights, radio, the works.
Check.
Mildred started flipping switches. The UV screen winked out, the dashboard went dark, and the interior lights dimmed to nothingness.
And what about us?
We should be safe. Check the land. This is a really old blast crater.
That does not mean it is not hot. I have seen much older ones still glowing at night.
Our composite hull will give some protection. We've got lots of cracks.
No, the radiation is too low. We'll be safe. The slick, fused soil under their wheels was nearly frictionless. It was worse than driving on ice. Scenes from their awful trek through the Arctic flashed through his mind. But the Ranger won't know that.
Wouldn't the White Coats program it to check rad levels, just to be sure?
Why? When a nuclear bomb goes off, if the tank survives the EMP wave, it still can't go anywhere near a rad pit for hundreds of years. And no military would plan to leave its equipment alone for that long.
How about the folks who built the redoubts in the first place?
Nobody had an answer to that. As Ryan angled Leviathan into an arroyo, the bottom of the rad pit came directly into view. Barren, featureless land, as level as a skillet, stretched into the distance, with low rolling hills rising in a perfect circle around the rim. Not a stick or a pebble marred the dead perfection, and not even a breeze seemed to disturb the pristine stillness of the hell-blasted pit. There was no time to take a rad count, so Ryan plowed straight into the crater.
Here it comes!
The laser rose above the hillock behind them, but before the tank came into view, the short barrel stopped and began to withdraw.
Hey! It's retreating! The trick worked!
Hugging his Mossberg shotgun, the boy slumped in his chair, looking twice his age.
Advanced technology is so primitive.
Mildred kept a constant watch on the hilltop.
Keep going straight. Don't make your move until we're far, far away from this point.
Ryan agreed and continued to pretend he was going to drive through the very heart of the new coal. Slowing to a complete halt, the General Electric Ranger Mark IV sat on the lee side of the low hillock, reviewing its options with machine speed.
Sig Rep Delta,
asked the auxiliary subprocessor after the main subprocessor didn't respond after the Regulation 4 tries. The main CDP replied,
Confirm. Nuclear strike zone on record. Scram factor 99. Do not proceed on this course.
Affirmative. Query. Launch missile salvo.
Negative. Supplies depleted. February 14th, 2095, 14:09 a.m.
Confirm. Query. Blank escaping enemy tank.
Processing.
Query. Return to base.
Processing.
Query. Abandon pursuit of target.
Negative.
There was a full millisecond pause.
Repairs to primary weapon system must be performed stat.
Confirm. Accessing fuel repair files. Highest probability location for success is the pearl in the wheel.
Accepted. Implement.
And the mammoth war machine rumbled off toward the east at its top speed. Rifles and hand blasters were held tightly in sweaty hands as good luck charms as Leviathan rolled over the flat plain of the nuclear crater for miles. In spite of their exhaustion, everyone's face was pressed tight to a window or blaster port, watching for the return of the dreaded pre-dark war machine. Christie scanned ahead with binocs.
Damn, there's a river coming up ahead. If the Ranger tries to circle around and ambush us from the other side, it'll reach the water and be able to see inside the blast crater and track us.
No, it won't.
Ryan twisted the wheel sharply.
We're cutting a tangent. By the time it reaches the river, we'll be long gone.
The redhead nodded.
Hopefully.
That's all we have.
The rippled glass under the wheels gave way to streaks of fused glass, shiny fingers reaching into the sterilized dirt. Acid rain gullies cut miniature ravines across the arid plain. Eventually, the pale dirt darkened in color to a proper brown, with some mutated plants and milkweeds appearing in tiny clumps, fighting for subsistence. Then, flecks of true grass were seen, the faint green as incongruous as flowers on the moon amid the rad-blasted vegetation. Then, more green grass thickening to patches, followed by small, irregular fields with stumpy bushes and corpses of withered bushes that became copses of mutant trees. The trunks were gnarled and malformed, the branches knotted as if in pain, and the fruits, hairy, pulsating sacks. But even these malformations were a welcome sight after the blighted zone of the rad pit. Mildred motioned with a hand.
Almost out. See there? Fields of green grass. Been a while since we saw that.
JB stubbornly chewed bites off a bar of stale cheese as he manned the starboard Remington.
East wasn't as bad hit as the West. I don't think the big rad storms ever made it this far.
Doesn't